This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
Well, just terrible, man. Really terrible what's gone on with the University of Miami. It's like sick to my stomach, man, to see what's gone on and how they have just completely lost it. It's a shame. It really is, because it's, you know, for a while, the Dolphins, and now Flo has to rebuild this. But Miami doesn't resemble anything that Shula built. And basically, the back end of Wanstead and then all the other coaches after Wanstead, they dismantled everything that Shula built. I mean, Jimmy started dismantling. He didn't want a lot of the stuff from the past and all. He was an asshole about all that stuff too. And so, you know what? Starting with Jimmy, because he never lived up to Shula's standards anyways, from Jimmy on till now, they completely destroyed this franchise. And they never resembled the winning franchise they were. The elite franchise they were. The Dolphins under Shula were royalty in the NFL. They became a joke. And now Flo has to rebuild this. That's why we fight these narratives all the time. That's why people don't believe that the Dolphins have turned the corner and they think it's the same old Dolphins. Well, guess what's happened? Everything that Schnellenberger and Jimmy, I will give him credit, obviously, right? All that stuff they built. Dennis Erickson did a great job overall. I'll give Butch credit with the recruiting he did in the 90s to kind of reestablish the program. But since the early 2000s, from the back end of the Coker run, very Wanstead-like, and then everybody else after that, including Manny Diaz, they have gone to destroy everything that the University of Miami stands for. Everything that that program was respected for is gone. Everything that people feared about the University of Miami, it's gone. They're not the same team. They're not looked at as the same team. They're not feared at all. And I know there's some butthurt Canes out there that can't handle the truth, but that's the truth. And it takes a while to build it back. And now the Dolphins are in the middle of that with Brian Flores to get back to that respectability and get back to being a perennial playoff team and be respected around the league. Like, okay, you know, like what you do with Baltimore, what you do with Pittsburgh, what you do with certain teams around the NFL, Seattle, New Orleans, you name it. The ones that have been in the playoffs for many years now and they've got great coaches and those kind of things. You have a level of respect for those kind of teams and their programs. Miami has to get back to that. And they will, I think. I think Flores can get them back to that point. Manny Diaz, there's no shot he's going to get you back to that point. He's destroyed it all. And unless the administration wants to actually spend the money it takes, you're done. You really are. I wanted to cover one thing because I had a listener who pointed out that, you know, I've been a big supporter of Chris Greer. And why am I a supporter of Chris Greer? And why do I think that Chris Greer was going to succeed? And in a way, I can't say that he has succeeded yet, right? Because you got to get back to being a playoff team. You got to get back to, you know, winning things. You know what I mean? But I believe they're going to be there very soon. I believe they'll be in the playoffs this year, obviously. So I think they're on their way. But one of the many, many different things, okay? I've gone on the road for over 20 years now in the NFL for a lot of the postseason games, from the Las Vegas Football Classic to the Orlando Gridiron to the East-West Shrine Game to the Senior Bowl and obviously the Combine and all of that. And throughout all that time, I have watched Chris Greer kind of grow through the organization. And look, I'm not telling you that I know him personally. I'm buddies with him or anything like that. But I got to see him on the road and got to talk to a lot of people that knew him, actually, and talked about him. Because that's good, because it's good to know the people that know him and kind of know about him, know about his dad, know about everything else. And I got to find out a lot about the work ethic. And over the years, I would know which are the good scouts at times with the Dolphins, because I could tell the guys that survived and the guys that didn't. And then I would get some of their reputations from other people that were in the organization, left the organization, have been around the organization, those kind of things. And Chris Greer is one of those guys that a lot of people had respect for and a lot of people admired because the work ethic, and a lot of people also looked at him in a way that he was old school in the sense of building teams. So when he finally got the opportunity, and one that I was championing for him for a couple of years, I kept saying, hey, get rid of these guys and hire Chris Greer. And finally they did, and they gave Chris Greer the opportunity. And so far, I've been more impressed with the way he's taken over and turned the football team around compared to all the past GMs that we've had here with the Miami Dolphins. And we've had some other guys that have gone on to help other teams, like Spielman and Ireland, right? But those guys made a lot of mistakes here. They kind of had to get their feet wet here and figure things out, and then went to their respective places, Minnesota and New Orleans, and they've had success, a lot of success there with picking players. This guy has been much more successful in his first run ever than all of those other guys. And I think that Chris Greer also had a perspective that none of us have. Chris Greer was there watching Cam Cameron make all his mistakes and watching Nick Saban make all his mistakes and Randy Mueller and watching Tony Sperano and Parcells and company and all of these people, Adam Gase. So the man had a great opportunity to like kind of take notes. Okay, this is not what I'm going to do. This is not what I'm going to do. This is not what I'm going to do. You know, that kind of stuff. And that's why I also felt that he had a foundation to have success. And knowing the fact that one regime after another kept him, that told me that behind the scenes, he must have been giving good advice to people. It's just, he's black. So, you know, it's going to be a little harder for you to get the opportunity that you normally deserve. So that's why it took this long for him to get the opportunity, because he's a minority. And I was a big fan of him. And I think that coming from the New England tree, his dad was a personnel guy. His dad's the guy, you know, his dad's the guy that picked Brady, right? I'm not sure if you know that. It's his dad that picked Brady. His dad said, hey, you know, I like this kid. Let's take him. So his dad was the one that scouted Brady. So, I just thought the foundation was there. And I saw a guy that got passed up for other opportunities in the past. And he had paid his dues. And that's where, listen, does your job have politics? Because my business has a ton of politics. And sometimes that happens in all walks of life, and it happens in the NFL. So that's why I thought that Chris Greer would be successful. And so far, I love what I've seen from him, and I'm hoping that he takes it to another level and Miami gets that championship, man. Danny Hathaway says, UCF got screwed out of the chance to play for a championship. UCF wasn't a championship team, sir, but you can make up whatever you want and try to convince yourselves that they were a championship team. You guys made yourselves a championship team. Your schedule wasn't championship. And if you were championship, guess what? You're not a one-hit wonder, my man. You know how they do it in this league? You know how they do it in college football? The ones that are going to the championship games are the ones that are there all the time in the playoffs. So if UCF was actually Fall Real, they would be up there challenging every year. So they had their little run, and it was fun, and that's it. Over. End of story. But, I mean, again, You can convince yourselves of whatever you want on that one. Wanstead equals Larry Coker as far as drafting players and recruiting players. That was the downfall both in my – yeah, but it's what came after that that just compounded the problem, my man. You know, Wanstead just started it, and so did Coker. You had an opportunity to end it by finding somebody else and ending that, and they didn't. And then another guy, and they didn't. And another guy, and they didn't. And that's why they're here where they're at right now. And I think the Dolphins have a chance to build out of it now, but I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel for the Canes at all. Let's see. Stephen A. Smith loves talking about Chris Greer and also Coach Flo, as Big O always says, shh, Black. He gushes when the Dolphins come up. Well, I don't know. Listen, when Stephen A. Smith starts talking football, I turn it off. That's just me. I don't want to hear him talk football. He doesn't know jack shit. He doesn't follow it. A year and a half ago, he got thoroughly embarrassed by talking about players that weren't even in the league and some were injured and weren't in the game. And just, you know, it was so embarrassing that I knew right there and then, like, okay, you know, we all can make a mistake because we're human. But those kind of mistakes were like, okay, I certainly don't follow this sport. That's kind of the way I felt. Okay, so, Steven, it's like when you guys tell me about Cowherd. There's no way I can listen to Cowherd talk about anything. DJ Gallagher, thank you, sir. Appreciate you giving us a little love on the Super Chat. A double play for the Big O Show. Cash App and Super. You did Cash App too? Damn, you are awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Cash App and Venmo. Cash Big O Show. That's Cash Big O Show. And let me check here your Cash App here. Yep, you got it. Alexander Lopez. Thank you. Thank you for giving us some love on Cash App. That is very nice of you, sir. Okay, I appreciate it immensely. Let's see. Let me check Venmo here. For those of you that went to Venmo, Cash Big O Show. That's Cash Big O Show. Appreciate you there. Thank you, sir. So, DJ, thank you for hitting us both. Now we know your real name. Was I supposed to, like, release your real name? I don't know. I don't know if you're hiding from somebody, DJ. You know what I mean? I'm not sure if you owe the IRS or something and you're trying to hide out and, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know if I was supposed to mention your real name. Let's see. Big O, Genesis is coming to Washington, D.C. Should I go? Well, I'm flying to Cleveland in November to go see Genesis. Does that answer your question? I'm not a financial advisor. I don't tell you what to do with your concert tickets. You know what I mean? I can only tell you what I do with my crypto coin and I do with my concerts. I am going to Cleveland to go see Genesis. And for those of you that are going to ask me, dude, why didn't you go to a bigger city? Why didn't you go to Cleveland? Just so you'll know the method behind my madness. Okay? One, cheap flight. Two, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And the NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame, okay? So, or the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I'm sorry, is the way I should pronounce it. My buddy has never been to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, so we're going to go for that. And the last time I went to Cleveland, I went to Canton, was for Marino's induction into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And believe it or not, I didn't have time to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame during that time. So I am now going to get to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So I get to see Genesis, and I get to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Okay? Looking forward. Oh, you know what? I'm looking forward also. I've been to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but guess what? I now get to hang out with Jason Taylor's bust. Ha! There we go. There we go. I love it. I love it. I keep hearing Flores is Black. I thought his family was Honduras. Where's the Hispanic pride? Well, he's talked about it many times, dude. But what do you want him to do? Go out there and start talking Spanish? Maybe he's not a really good Spanish speaker. Maybe he's not comfortable. You know what I mean? But he is Dominican. He's said it himself, dude. He's prideful of that. That's not a... No es un Latino arrepentido, sir. Okay? That's not the case here. Relax. Chill. Flo's a good dude, man. Let's see what else. Genesis is coming here to Buffalo in November. Can't wait. That's what Eric Storm says. Listen, it's a little painful to watch Phil Collins right now because you know he's going through a lot of, you know, health issues. I mean, the man can't even hold drumsticks. I don't know if you guys know that. So it's like he's going through a rough time, but this is your last and only chance to see Genesis. I've seen Genesis a couple times, and I love Genesis. So I am looking forward to it. I love their music. I want to hear Mama, which is probably my favorite song of Genesis. I can't wait to just jam, man. Well, it's called See the Lonely Man Standing on the Corner. What's the name of that song? Is it called On the Corner? That's my favorite song. Right. That would be the one. But I don't think he'll do that. See the lonely man there on the corner. What he's waiting for, I don't know. But he waits every day now. He's been waiting for something to show. Whoa. Yeah. Love it. That is my favorite Genesis song. But I know I'm not going to hear that one, so I'll probably hear Mama, which I love Mama. It's an absolutely awesome, awesome song. In the Orange Bowl, he did a really cool thing. It was kind of dark. And then at the beginning of that song, you know, it's the keyboards and all that. And then there's their ha-ha-ha. Ah. When he does that, he would turn on a flashlight on his face. And he would do the thing, and it would come on the screen, and then it'd go dark again, and then he'd do it again. And it was actually a cool open back in the day. Classic Genesis, Phil's son plays drums on the tour. He played when I saw Phil solo. I saw him a couple times, one at the Fillmore and another one at where was the other one I saw Phil at? I forgot where was the other one now in South Florida the last couple years. Well, anyways, I saw him twice, and his son was playing drums then. Yeah. Yeah, so they kept it in the family, which is cool. But, I mean, when you're getting Rutherford and you're getting Tony Banks along with Phil, you know, I just pray that Phil can get better and feel better, man. You never want to go out in pain, you know? That's not fun. Big O, did you get to see Sandy Alcantara dominate again last night, 8 innings? Sir, I'm sorry, Mike. I'm barely watching the Marlins now. I got to be honest. I stopped watching. It's too painful, too frustrating to watch. There's got to be nothing on. There is no way I am leaving Monday Night Football to watch the Marlins. I just can't. Tonight? You think I'm going to watch the Marlins or I'm going to watch Inter Miami? Dude, I'm watching Inter Miami. Bet your ass I'm watching Inter Miami. I'm not going to watch. Inter Miami's playing for something. What the hell are the Marlins playing for? And I feel pissed for, you know, yesterday at least they won. But there's too many of these games where these kids are pitching great games and you're not supporting them because you didn't spend any damn money on hitting. And if you're expecting to develop the bats, when, dude? Said they're going about it a really long way of rebuilding. It's going to be year four next year, and they don't look anything like a playoff team for next year. I'm going to be interested to see how active they're going to be in the winter meetings. The best version of Genesis is with Peter Gabriel. Nah, not even close. Nah, sorry. That psychedelic crap. It's all right. It's not that good. I mean, brother, just kick in three sides live, and there's no. It's all subjective. That's fine. You know what I mean? There are people that are tell you that they like Fleetwood Mac's early days with Peter Green, and I'm going to tell you, hell no. Once Stevie Nicks and Buckingham joined, they went to another level. Plenty of people, they like early Journey. I'm sorry, dude. Once Steve Perry took over, it was over. So it is what it is. I guess it's a subjective thing. There are times that people will tell you they like the early portion of a band or whatever. You know, the Syd Barrett days of Pink Floyd. Give me a little bit later. Give me a little bit later. So, no, I couldn't disagree with you more. I think it was decent music, but it was too out there at times. And once Phil took over, bro, those are the hits. Those are the monster songs, man. That's when Genesis became Genesis. They kind of were more of a show in those days than they were. I love Peter Gabriel more than Peter Gabriel Genesis. How about that? Okay? Give me Games with, what is it? Games Without Frontiers, War Without Tears. Give me any of that stuff that he does. Salisbury Hill and the So album is an effing masterpiece. The So album is one of the 100 best albums in the history of music. Period. Not rock, not pop, not disco, not R&B, not funk, not rap, not classical. Top 100 album of all time. I don't know where you want to put it, but give me him solo over anything that he did with Genesis. Anything. Give me Phil Collins solo over anything early Genesis. Give me Mike Rutherford and the Mechanics. Mike and the Mechanics over anything early Genesis. That's just me. Okay? That's all I can tell you. Fleetwood Mac was really two different bands. Could have just changed the name. No, I know that. But it's up to you which one you like. It's not like I don't like the early Fleetwood Mac. I do like it, but are you kidding me, dude? There's no comparison. Once Stevie Nicks and Buckingham joined, the band went to another level. Please, give me a break. Top 100 records of all time has 200 records on it. What were the first couple of concerts you ever went to? For me, it was Aerosmith and the Eagles 2010. I'm 25. Well, I'll tell you, one of the first concerts I ever went to was in 1981, was Van Halen, and it was the Fair Warning Tour. That was one of the first few concerts that I went to. I had my dad drop me off about 5 blocks away from the Sporto because, of course, you had to look cool. You know what I mean? I'm not going to walk over to the Van Halen concert with my dad dropping me off in front of the Hollywood Sportatorium. Said, Dad, yo, I'm 15. I'm grown up now. Leave me 5 blocks away. We'll walk. No problem. We're set. We got did I have some Earth shoes or something? No, what was it? What was those things that I had? I might have had those boot moccasins or something, some jeans, some bandanas, a shirt, you know, whatever concert shirt I had. And we're good. We'll walk. We'll look cool walking. We're good. Don't leave me in front of the Hollywood Sportatorium. Are you crazy? So, there you go. So, yeah, that was one of my first concerts. Loved that concert. God, that was such a good concert to go to. Big O, what are your top 5 drummers? That's so subjective, dude. Okay, I'm not saying they're the 5 best drummers in the world. Are we good with that? Are we done? Okay, we're done? I'm not saying I'm not putting them in top 5. I'm just telling you, you asked me my favorite drummers, right? Nico McBrain from Iron Maiden. Neil Peart from Rush. I'm going to go Alex Van Halen from Van Halen, of course. Terry Bozzio from Missing Persons. All right, see, I'm not going to go back to Cream and Baker and all that. Keith Moon, you're not asking me the best drummers of all time. You're asking me my favorite drummers. Remember that. Okay, so don't start bitching at me and complaining and calling me an asshole. How can you put them as the best? I'm just saying. He asked me favorites. Okay? I'm giving you favorites. Oh, Mike Portnoy from Dream Theater. Okay? Those are my five favorite drummers of all time. Phil Collins was a monster drummer. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. But I'll probably go Bonzo before I go him. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's... So it is what it is. John Bonham, yes, of course. I know. Bonzo is amazing. Bill Bruford, awesome. Can't do it. Again, I'm not here to see, like, Hank Goldberg put Moon, Bonham, Baker, Mitchell, Wada. He's like putting up like the best of all time. You know, he's like, okay, you know, and those guys are all in that conversation. You know what I'm saying? But you asked me five favorites. Not the five best of all time. That would be a different list that I would have to make up. Games Without Frontiers. Thank you, Carlos. I appreciate you. That's my favorite song of his. God, I love that song. She's so. Let's see. Big O, have you had a chance to check out Theracacy, Mirrors of Soul? You know, I better do that today. Okay, Mirror of Souls. I wrote it down again, and I will check it today. I promise you I will check it today when I sit down. Better solo artist, Peter Gabriel or Phil Collins? Oh, not even close, Phil Collins. That's not up for argument. It's just not. What Phil Collins has done as a solo artist dwarfs what Peter Gabriel has done. Peter Gabriel's had a really, really good career as a solo artist. Phil Collins has been like a monster, dude. Everything that he's done for movie themes to all kinds of hit songs. No. Phil Collins, bro. Like, that's you can't even, when you write hits for both, the list is not even close. It's nowhere near where Phil Collins is at. Phil Collins is one of the greatest solo artist of all time, actually. I can't say that about Peter Gabriel. I can say that about Phil Collins. I can say he's one of the greatest solo artists of all time. I can put him up there with the Elton Johns of the world. By the way, did you guys catch Elton John on Howard Stern? So Metallica was on Howard Stern with Miley Cyrus. As you know, they're doing all that crossover stuff. And by the way, Miley... You know, from Hannah Montana to where she's at now, I got to say, I like that, you know, she rocks out and she's got a terrific voice. She's super talented. And I like how she's done all this rock crossover stuff. But anyway, so Howard, as only Howard can do, he's got Metallica. He's got Miley Cyrus in freaking studio with him. And then he gets freaking Elton John, okay, on telephone. And so they're doing one of Metallica's songs, and here's Elton John talking about it's one of the greatest pieces of music and this and that, and he's giving Metallica all kinds of love and praise and all that. And Hetfield is, like, blown away that Elton John is praising everything about Metallica. You know, it was. I don't know if you guys can – if you want to go on YouTube, it's there because Howard puts up his clips on YouTube. I don't really watch a lot of Howard Stern, to be honest with you, but – those clips that come up on YouTube, I will catch them because he'll have performances and he'll have, you know, it's a 3-5-7 minute interview with somebody. And so I'll watch it. But if you get a chance, Hetfield's face is absolutely priceless because you can tell, because he's the guy that writes the music a lot. You can tell how much it meant to him that an effing legend like Elton John is gushing all over his music, dude. It's freaking awesome. It's really, 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 really cool, you know? The drummer, damn it, Metallica's drummer, help me out, I'm brain farting here. It's with a U, right? Somebody help me out, man. Lars Ulrich. So Lars is kind of the guy that's going back and forth, and he turns to James and he goes, I know that you this means a lot to you about Elton. He's like, it's actually a really cool scene if you want to check it out, man. You'll like it. Howard gets all woke past few years, yawn. Howard got all woke past few years, yawn. I'm not sure what that means, my brother. I don't know what that means. Nandi is a nice story for a young drummer. Peter Gabriel has a lot of great music, as O said, so it's another level. It is literally masterpiece. Every song is incredible. Oh, you're talking about So? Oh, God, So from beginning to end. It's a great album. Great album, dude. There are times where people just, they put together one masterpiece, and it's, you just got to tip your hat to them. All right, folks, I got to go. I've already done 3 hours and 40 minutes today. That's a little too much. I shouldn't do that much. We will see you tomorrow. Thank you to all. If you send me a Cash App or Venmo at Cash Big O Show, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Cash Big O Show. Remember Twitter, Big O Show. Reach out to us there. Follow. Please smash the hell out of the like button. It is so important that you smash the like button. And, of course, Yahoo email if you need to reach out to me, BigORadioShow@yahoo.com. We will see you tomorrow, same time, same place, same bat channel. Te quiero.
Blind ass fan alert. Look out, everyone. We've got a blind ass fan coming through.